Hello, Channel 9. My name's Nick Fillingham. I'm here with Anand and Jeremy from the Windows Live Sync team. Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going?
Now, I'm very well, thank you. Now, you guys have a big announcement today. The Windows Live Essentials Wave 4 beta has just been released. We thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about one of the new services that's come into this Wave 4 beta, which is not necessarily new, but has a lot of new components, and we thought we'd get down to that, and that's Windows Live Sync. You guys are on the team that have built Windows Live Sync, is that correct?
Well, I'm on the marketing side, but
on the marketing side, yeah, but you'll take credit for
the
it.
Same time. Oh yeah, that's
enough.
Yeah. Now, the Channel 9 audience are very big users and advocates and fans of Live Mesh. I know I use Live Mesh a lot. My life lives in Live Mesh. Live Sync is in some ways replacing Live Mesh, or very much replacing Live Mesh. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to talk about what is Live Sync, how does it kind of compare to Live Mesh, how can Channel 9 users migrate their Live Mesh world over into the Live Sync world, and then just some other things they should be aware of and perhaps some questions they have around the differences between the services. So let's just start with Live Sync. What is Live Sync, Anand?
Sure. So Windows Live Sync is part of the Essentials,
okay,
our PC apps, basically. And Windows Live Sync is really all about, if you're the person that has multiple PCs that you use frequently, it's kind of the killer app. Basically, make sure that you have your stuff on your PCs, latest versions. Even if you're not synchronizing your stuff, you can use remote desktop to go off and access your files or applications wherever you are. So really, we built it for the person that on a daily or, you know, bi-weekly basis uses multiple machines, whether it's at work or home or even within the same house.
Actually, we should probably do a very quick demo of it here because you've got it open on this machine, is that right?
Yeah, I got it right here.
And then so, as you're going through that, let's just kind of talk about those few things you just mentioned.
Absolutely. And as Nick mentioned, the beta is available now today to download. So here is Windows Live Sync. This is the application. You'll notice a few things here. First off, you'll notice there's a bunch of folders here that are set up to synchronize on a few different devices. You can see which folder it is. You can see which devices it's syncing on. In this case, I've said, hey, I want to really sync a few important pictures on a few different devices. So I've selected a few different computers. Not too different than, you know, the way Mesh was before. The other thing you may notice that's a little bit new is program settings. What we found is, again, for the person that uses multiple PCs, they customize and tweak IE and Office in certain different ways. And so what we did was we built that capability right into Windows Live Sync. So if you've got your favorite, you know, words that you want Microsoft Word to ignore when you're spell checking, you can get those same dictionary on all the computers, that kind of thing. So basically, this is the way I manage my synchronization settings. And then up here, you'll notice there's a tab here to switch to remote. And then here's where you can set up remote desktop. Basically, all you have to do is say, hey, I want to allow remote connections to this PC. And then wherever I am, I can do a remote connection into the device.
Okay. And this is really it's the same features or the functionality that we were used to with Live Mesh. It's just perhaps a different UI and a slightly different way about going around it. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, I think that the biggest thing that people will notice is the different UI.
Okay.
What we tried to do with the new Sync is really bring together some of the key features in a very, very easy to use interface, so that, you know, we could get more people using Sync. The other thing that people will notice is that if you do have multiple devices, we've really focused on making it easy to set up a sync library across devices without having to hop back and forth between PCs.
So explain that. What is it? What is a sync library?
So basically, let's say you got two PCs.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first PC I install sync on. I can go in here and check, hey, my music, that's something I want to have synced.
Sure, across all my devices.
Across all my devices.
Okay.
And then when I go to the next PC and I launch sync, it'll say automatically, it'll ask, do you want to bring over those sort of libraries that you initiated the sync on the other computer with? So you don't have to kind of go back to the first PC. You can do it all with just kind of starting with this PC and going to your second PC.
Okay.
Other things that people will notice. So when we looked at the way people were using Mesh, we found kind of a couple different things. First, people really love peer-to-peer sync. They like the power of having, you know, tens and tens of gigabytes of their files, whether it's their music or their pictures, all in sync across their PCs. So really invested in making peer-to-peer more robust. And the second thing we noticed is people also liked syncing to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was a situation where they weren't on one of their PCs, they could access their files. But they really only sync kind of their most important personal files. And so the usage really was, you know, well under a couple of gigs. And so what we decided was to actually provide 2 gigs of cloud storage. to folks, and really we hope to then be able to bring Sync to as many people as we can in this wave.
Now, in Live Mesh, it was actually 5 gigs, is that correct?
That's right.
And now it's been reduced to 2. But you were saying that the kind of data you guys were seeing was that people weren't using that full 5 gigs, they were using kind of a little bit less, and the files that they wanted available in the cloud were just some of the more important documents as opposed to their entire music collection or their entire photo collection. Is that accurate? What have you seen, kind of, Jeremy, in kind of the Live
Mesh? Yeah, well, I think... it's funny the way you said it. Was that we didn't see many people use it, but
right.
I think we probably heard from every person who's used more than 2 gigabytes.
Right.
They found our email addresses and written to us personally. So, I think one thing I'll say is it's still a beta.
Right.
We're learning, we're listening, we're trying to really understand what customers are doing with it. We're going to keep a very close eye on usage during the beta and see if we should revisit any decisions over time.
Okay.
But yeah, for the most part, what we found was that people had a fairly small set of files that they actually cared to have available for cloud storage. The other thing I'd say is that people tended to use the cloud a lot when they had this idea of, well, I need to get to my important files anytime, wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, in Mesh, we didn't quite get that scenario all the way done, because
okay.
if you had something like a Word doc or a PowerPoint presentation, I did this all the time, running between meetings from one building to another, you don't know whose machine you're going to use to project on, you think, oh, I'm just going to put it up in the cloud. But
okay.
of course, we didn't quite nail it all the way, because you still had to download the thing and you had to have the right version of Office,
Office
to run the file there.
Yeah, it's great to have the file, but if you can't open the file, you're
yeah.
in trouble.
And so for that scenario in particular, this idea of sharing and collaborating with a number of people on Office documents, we really, I would say, took a step back and looked end-to-end at what that scenario is and how do we do the right thing for people.
Okay.
And we made a decision to actually focus on a specific experience around that by taking together SkyDrive, the Office web applications, and Office 2010,
mm-hmm.
and making a fantastic way for anyone to collaborate, to share, to view from anywhere on any device on any time.
Now, do you have an example of maybe an Office document?
Sure, absolutely.
Sync?
Yeah, so...
And for everyone at home, it's Sync? Or Windows Live Sync, is that correct?
The official name is Windows Live Sync.
Windows Live Sync.
Sync is a great name if you want to abbreviate it.
Sync if you're friends. Okay, cool. Let's have a look at...
You'll notice I have Office 2010 installed on this machine.
Okay.
Now, this works best if you have Office 2010, but will work with other versions of Office.
Okay.
So here's a spreadsheet I'm working on. Lots of fancy formatting in here, you can see. And with Office 2010, what we've done is when you go to what we call the backstage view, you can actually go ahead, click right here, and immediately you have access to your SkyDrive.
Okay.
You can see here I can browse my different folders, I can create new folders, and I can save this file on the web so I can access it anywhere.
Great.
And I'll just show you what that looks like.
And that's a feature of Office. That actually hasn't been enabled by installing Sync, is that correct?
That's right.
This is independent of Sync. Okay, great.
And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But. Let's say I'm on a different computer, I need to go, to a presentation or to a meeting. Here I am in my web browser, and you can see here's that file.
Mm-hmm.
And just by clicking on it, I'll launch the Office web apps.
Okay.
And the Office web apps, completely free, don't require Office, and you can see you get this full fidelity view of the spreadsheet. It looks exactly like it did on my PC.
Right.
The neat thing also here is that I can actually go ahead and click Edit, and do that here. And I'll be able to actually make quick edits here.
Right.
And so you can start to see...
Oops.
Oh. You got it open.
So that's obviously an example of version control. So that's also there, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think I still have it open before we started recording,
but that's all right.
Yeah, I should have closed it here. So what I can do here is I can click Edit, and I'll actually be able to make edits here in the spreadsheet.
Great.
And you can see the power of this, not only if you're on a machine that doesn't have Office, but let's say you're sharing this file with other people.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now, they not only can get your file, but they can work together in the same place, the same file, whatever software they have installed, and we also keep track of versions.
That's great. So that's the missing piece you were kind of referring to from Live Mesh.
Yeah, I think that was one of the key things to really round out the scenario. And again, we just sort of as a team, as the Windows Live team took a step back and said, hey, let's think about this thing end to end. Let's talk with the Office team and get it right. And this is the path they went down. One of the other nice things, I don't know if you saw it briefly when we were looking at the web page, is people who were doing collaboration with Live Mesh really actually liked the news feed, which is this idea of saying, hey, what's changed recently? What are the files? Who's been editing them? We incorporate those same ideas back in here. So you can see as your friends and colleagues are editing their documents, you can actually see the first view we started in was recently added documents was the view you were looking
That's right.
So again, it feels to me as a Live Mesh partisan, someone who's been working on this product for a long time, that we really got the scenario right taking it in this direction, and we're going to satisfy people.
That's right. So. One of the nice things, because of the sort of online nature of the documents, we also avoid some of the version conflict issues that people often had when they're using Sync to collaborate.
Okay, cool. Now, let's talk about the migration process. So I'm a Live Mesh user, which I really am, and a lot of the Channel 9 viewers are as well. Live Mesh will eventually go away. Live Mesh was a technical preview, and it is going to be replaced by Sync. So at some point, I need to obviously move off of Live Mesh and onto Live Sync. What does that process look like? How do I prepare for that? What should I do?
The first thing I want to make sure that people understand is that we're in beta right now. And so what that means is we're really interested in getting feedback on the product, making sure we incorporate that into the released product. And what we've said is once we release the product, we're going to make sure that we give people plenty of time to switch, at least 6 months. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd point out is that if you're interested in trying Windows Live Essentials, the other apps like Photo Gallery, Movie Maker, you will have to uninstall Mesh to try those. So you may want to take that into account when you're deciding to try the new apps.
Okay, and was there a technical reason for making the decision?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, I think, a good indication of sort of where the history of the technology that we're bringing out now with Windows Live, which is it's the same team that was working on Live Mesh, so it's the same sync engine, the same remote desktop and live remote engine, and they actually don't coexist that well together. It turns out you can only have one copy of the driver that's able to do live remote. And so if you have the Mesh driver and you try and install sync, the two of them don't get along very well. The name of the file sync engine is the same. It uses some of the same components. So we wanted to have a clean break there so that there was no chance of users getting themselves into a bad state or having sort of these very difficult to manage sync conflicts with those kinds of things.
And now you do get prompted when you're installing the Windows Live Essentials beta to say if you do have Live Mesh installed, you will need to uninstall it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I think my advice, if you're ready to try it, and certainly we love everyone to try it.
Yeah.
I feel very confident, in the quality of this beta, especially compared to the Live Mesh beta. We've done a bunch of great work. We'd love to have your feedback. The recommendation is pretty simple, which is go ahead and we called it mapping in Live Mesh, but sync all of your files down to your computer so you've got them all there.
So you have a copy on your computer somewhere locally.
Yep, on the desktop. And then you don't even have to uninstall Live Mesh. You can just install Windows Live Sync, the new beta. We'll take care of uninstalling Mesh for you. And then the only catch is we won't synchronize between Windows Live Sync and another Live Mesh machine. Again, we intentionally made some changes to the protocol to optimize the performance and get things working better, but that means that the two can't talk to each other. So if you've got three devices, you should make a decision when you're ready to move all those three devices forward. And if you're sharing, again, I'd say think about how you're sharing. If your primary sharing scenario is really around Office documents, I would say part of your migration path should be thinking about moving those things onto SkyDrive. Mm-hmm. If you're using sharing for a broader set of things, we still support that with Windows Live Sync, but again, everyone who's participating in the sharing relationship has to upgrade.
Right, so the steps are make a local copy of all the files you currently have in Live Mesh.
Wait for it to synchronize.
Wait for it to synchronize, and so it's all there. None of the empty icons. You need to make sure all the files are actually there on your local machine. And then install the Wave 3 beta, and that will take...
Wave 4.
Wave 4, excuse me. And that will uninstall Live Mesh, install Live Sync, and then at that point you go and establish the new sync relationships. Is that correct?
That's
or will
right.
the relationships carry over from Live Mesh?
They won't, unfortunately, because we made enough changes on the back end with the protocol that we want to be able to do a clean start on that stuff.
And that's really, I think I like the idea of a clean start. I was telling you guys before about my wife who uses Live Mesh and she loves Live Mesh, and I just realized the other day she had 28 gigabytes of data in her Live Mesh directory because she was syncing videos from her little flip cam. So she had she has 25 gigs of videos from her flip cam in her Live Mesh. And I think perhaps it's good to have a clean start because you can realize what data do I want synchronized on other PCs and then what really important data do I want synchronized into Live Mesh. Because you're not going to want 25 gigabytes of flip video content in your SkyDrive.
Yep.
You're going to make sure it's only that small subsection of the really important stuff that's available. So it's kind of nice to have a clean slate every now and then.
Yeah, because you're a chance to clean out the closet.
And is there any specific guidance you guys have on what files should sit up in SkyDrive and what stuff should just be synchronized across your other machines?
At the end of the day, it's a personal decision. But what I found that works really well is I have these folders like my music, mm-hmm. my personal videos and pictures that are just tens and tens of gigabytes. And, there's no way that there's enough space in the cloud that at least that we provide or even that you could pay for at a reasonable rate that that would make sense to store those things in the cloud.
Right.
And so those are scenarios where peer-to-peer works great. You can see actually here on my setup, one thing I've done is I've got a Media Center PC at home, and I listen to my music there. And
right.
So I've connected my music folder across those two devices.
Right.
So it's great when I download something on my Zune, it syncs across to the other PC. There's other files where they're really important files, like certain documents or that sort of thing, where you do want to sync to the cloud. So just in case one PC isn't on, the synchronization still happens.
Okay.
You store the stuff up in the cloud and it waits until your other PC comes on. So I'd say for a lot of people, they should think about, hey, the big folders, probably peer-to-peer. For a couple folders that you want to make sure the sync really happens, even if the PCs aren't on, you can use SkyDrive as a bridge.
All right, so let's talk about some of the technical limitations in terms of, I believe there are some file types that don't sync. Is that correct? So, for example, PSTs in Outlook do not sync. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so we're still, that's another one of the lists that we're still juggling and playing around with. We're open to beta feedback. It should be a slightly smaller list than what we call those blocked files and what we had with Mesh.
Sure.
And those decisions we make, there's some interesting conspiracy theories on I've seen, but those decisions are really made based on making sure that the sync experience is as good as possible for users. So
sure.
PST is a tricky one. Really briefly, we won't try and sync a file when it's marked as in use by another application.
Of course.
Because we didn't want to have the chance of syncing a partial file or a file that's in an inconsistent state. And so what we found was a typical usage pattern for PST files is, people load them into Outlook. Outlook opens it up with a write lock,
yep.
Which is our signal to, hey, don't touch. And if you keep Outlook open all the time, as most people do, we will never actually sync that file.
Right.
So it's not behaving the way you would expect it to. It's not that every time you drag a mail in, we automatically synchronize that thing.
Yep.
So that was one side of it. The other side was if you're actually really using the PST file on two machines and you're dragging different mails in, maybe you're offline, you're doing a little bit of organizing, you get to work, you do a little bit on your desktop, and then you come back online, you're going to have a conflict. Because
right.
from our perspective, the file has actually been changed on two different machines. And so we really wanted to avoid those kinds of issues. And that's what led us to hand-picking the particular file types.
Yeah, and that's a great segue, actually, where there's an example of something where there was something we saw people wanting to do, and we said, hey, there may actually be a different approach to make this happen. And so with Hotmail, actually, what we've done is we've invested in a really good two-way synchronization experience across Outlook, our free client, Windows Live Mail, across your phone, if you have Exchange Active Sync, and then on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only do you get your mail, but you also get your calendar and your contacts. And it's not just your own contacts that you store, it's also the contacts wherever you store them on the web, because we can do sync on the back end between places like LinkedIn or Facebook. And so again, it's the same benefit we hope that people get, but in a different way.
So I think one of the things that we maybe missed in the migration talk, which I just want to make sure we highlight, is our platform support.
Okay.
So on the plus side, one of the things that we didn't talk about yet or didn't get a chance to show here was our Mac client. So we had a Mac client for Live Mesh.
So if a Mac is part of your stable of PC machines at home, Mac is there.
Not exactly
we support
PCs.
You. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to be as inclusive as possible.
Great.
So we've continued to innovate on the Mac client. We've taken all the features, with the exception of Live Remote, that we have on the PC client and made them work on the Mac. So that includes, for the first time, P2P sync support. So
Fantastic.
You can directly sync a file between a Mac and your PC. It doesn't have to be stored up on the cloud. But a change that we know some people wanted to hear a little bit more about was the decision to support Windows 7 and Windows Vista, but not to support Windows XP.
Okay.
So do you want to try the explain
sure.
to people who are interested?
Sure. We know a fair number of users still have a Windows XP machine that's
sure.
within their sync relationships. And what's interesting, well, first of all, what I'd say is that it's actually the number of people in that category is declining as Windows 7 really gets massive uptake.
Sure.
But that said, there still are people on XP. And we made the tough decision to support across the Essentials apps only Windows Vista and Windows 7. And it was for a variety of reasons, but really what it came down to was there's a lot of great new features we want to deliver. And for us to support multiple operating systems obviously requires more work. And there's just some things we can't do on the older operating systems.
Okay.
And so we've said, hey, we're gonna make a big investment around Windows Vista and Windows 7. And, we're going to bring great functionality out for those platforms, and we're going to make the product as good as we can. And so we hope, we hope Sync will work for you, and we hope that you'll benefit from that sort of decision.
So for users that are currently on XP and will be on XP for a little while, the Live Mesh technical beta is still functioning though, so they can still use it for the meantime.
That's right.
That's
so
right. And there is an option earlier, there. We want to make sure people have plenty of time to think about the alternatives, decide whether the new Sync beta is the right thing for them, and so there's plenty of time to make that decision.
Fantastic. All right, but if you are on, if you are on XP and you want to check out Windows Live Sync, obviously you need to think about a migration to Vista or Windows 7. So what I wanted to also talk about is the remote desktop feature is obviously still a part of, that feature was obviously very, very popular in Live Mesh. Are you able to give us a very quick demo to show how it differentiates here and also perhaps how that's accessed from the web?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. So again, I mentioned there's this remote tab here in the client when you enable it. A couple things to call out. We've actually made a number of improvements with remote desktop to reduce latency. We've actually added data center, and we've really optimized the protocol. So hopefully people can benefit from that. But it's fairly straightforward. If you're used to mesh, there's a concept of being able to start the remote desktop connection right here from the client.
Okay.
If you're on one of your own machines, or you can do it from the web.
Okay.
I've actually already initiated a connection, which is open down here. This is my home PC over in Seattle.
Okay.
And a couple things you'll notice here, I actually have a multiple monitor set up.
Right.
And so one of the cool things here is there's this zoom feature. So it's very easy for me to, in this case, I don't really have anything on my other monitor, but I can actually go zoom in on one monitor or kind of go see the whole desktop.
Cool. So your second monitor is kind of here on the right-hand side, which we can't really see, but it would be there if there was something showing.
Yeah. Here. I'll drag this weather gadget over there.
There we go. There's your second monitor.
There's something.
Great.
There. Yeah.
You have a whole monitor just for weather?
It's the weather
actually,
monitor.
Actually, that's our recipe monitor, because that's actually in the kitchen.
Aha.
So we've got the house wired. And then there's some of the things that people are used to, like being able to copy and paste files between local and remote and that sort of thing. We think that hopefully the remote desktop experience will be improved for a lot of people. And then, as you mentioned, you can also initiate connections on the web.
Right.
And so we have a site, devices.live.com.
Okay.
You can also access it from the Windows Live header. And this is really where we believe that people will manage all of their different connected devices.
Okay.
In this case, you can see I've got my laptop right here. And then this is the home PC, and you can see there's an option here to go ahead and connect to the computer.
Right.
And that will launch an ActiveX control to do remote desktop.
Very similar again to the...
And is there feature parity for the experience for remote desktop on the client versus remote desktop from an internet cafe or something that you're accessing over the web? Pretty close?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Cool.
So that's remote desktop.
Great. Well, I think we've probably covered everything. There's probably more we can get into. Where is the best place to go on the intertubes for more information about Sync? Is it going to be the Inside Windows Live blog? Do you guys have something, a website you'd like people to kind of visit?
Yeah, so probably the easiest thing, if you're a Mesh user, there's a Mesh blog, and there's a pointer there to a blog post that we did on Inside Windows Live that goes into depth on Sync.
And we have the full list of files that are excluded for part of the syncing,
yep.
And more information on some of the limitations around the new Live Sync, such as the amount of storage in the cloud and perhaps what that status is for now.
Yeah, but I think in general, I think people should find that it's going to be faster, more flexible, more convenient.
Now,
both on Sync and on, as you mentioned, as on the remote part. I definitely don't want to sell that team short. They've done a ton of work under the covers there.
Cool. And I was going to say, I haven't asked these guys before we started rolling, but you're on camera now, and the guys have kindly agreed to answer all questions in the Channel 9 forum. So if you have questions around Live Sync,
he signed me up to answer all the questions on the blog post on Inside Windows Live. So you're on point for this.
All right, Anand's on point. So if you have questions about Live Sync and the migration process from Live Mesh, put them in the Channel 9, either in the coffee house or here on the video, and we'll get them answered by the team as best as possible.
Please do send us your feedback. This beta period is there to listen and hear what you have to say, so we're excited about that.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very much.
Thanks.
See
you later.